Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. And for day two, I am solo in the studio, and Maggie is at the New Jersey home studio. How you doing, Maggie?
Doing really well. Still a little stuffed up, obviously, at a positive COVID test, but thank goodness the symptoms are mild here. I've got multiple nasal sprays going on, so apologies if I sound a little nasally. I've got also a steamer over here to my right. I've got a huge box of tissues here. We're going to get through, Perloff.
That is glamorous. I mean, you describe a job that is like, you know, this big media job. They really want to hear about your multiple nasal sprays.
Multiple nasal sprays. I can't even hold. I got my Tylenols, my nasal sprays. I mean, yes, this is the life of someone who hosts a national radio and television show.
Okay, but are you ready for tonight? Because I need full energy for the Eastern Conference Finals, because I have to warn you, Maggie, I feel like people are getting more hype for the Western Conference Finals and kind of begrudgingly looking at this Eastern Conference Finals. What do you think?
Okay, why? Because they're going to score like 50 points each in the Eastern Conference Finals?
Exactly.
I get it.
Yeah.
This is not going to be like a scorer's delight here. This is going to be something a little bit more like akin to the 80s and 90s, you know, when a playoff game, Perloff, with a final score would be like 78-76, you know. It's going to be a little bit like that. These are two incredible defensive teams, but can I just take a second?
Sure.
And I know this is going to put me in a very difficult position. Normally, I'm not defending teams from Miami, but I really don't understand why the Heat are this big of an underdog. I mean, right now in Vegas, it looks like plus 150 for the number one seed, who has home court advantage where they have not lost a game yet in these playoffs. All right, so they're 6-0 at home. I know that Tatum is going to be the best player on the floor. Anyone who has eyes is going to know that. But just because the Heat don't have maybe as many household names doesn't mean they don't have a closer. Jimmy Butler is a closer. He closes for you on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. And I would say they have a coach who's been here before. Like, I don't understand, despite the fact the Celtics may have the best player in the series, I don't fully understand why they would be such big underdogs in this series.
Well, I think it starts with 28-7 in their last 35. I know the Heat are the number one seed, but if you look at the second half of the season, the Celtics are clearly the best team in the East. I think that's a big factor. I also think, you know, you mentioned Miami didn't lose at home. Look who they played. They played Atlanta and a broken 76ers team, where the Celtics are coming off sweeping the Nets and beating arguably the best team in the NBA, the Bucks. Don't you think, like, what we've seen so far and the quality of opponent for the Celtics is influencing this number in a big way?
Okay, well, maybe, but I can take that argument and I can just flip it on the other side, which is you had the Boston Celtics just got through with a 7-game knockdown, drag 'em out series with the Milwaukee Bucks, whereas the Miami Heat finished on Thursday. I mean, they've been off for almost a week. I know Kyle Lowry is still out for this game, but I don't see this as, okay, yes, the Celtics dispatched of the Nets. They made Kevin Durant look, I don't know, somewhat mortal, but I would argue that Nets team was clearly super flawed, you know, super
you think?
Flawed. Yeah, and then you get rid of Giannis and the Bucks, but it took obviously every ounce until game seven where the Bucks kind of no-showed in the second half. But you also didn't have Chris Middleton in that series, and it still was a knockdown drag-em-out. And yes, maybe the Heat have had a slightly easier path, no doubt, but I would say they're rested, they're experienced, and listen, both teams are actually going to be relying on the role players, aren't they?
Sure.
I mean, this is what it always comes down to in these series that we never want to talk about. And I would say this is going to be such an intensive defensive battle. And both teams are excellent at locking up each other's three-point shooters. Like, it's all going to be about adjustments. And, like, I'm not breaking any news to you there. I just think the Heat are pretty much even. And I don't get why they're the underdog.
Well, I think it's like playing Milwaukee. I know they didn't have Middleton. And playing the Nets, it's almost like a hitter who's in the warm-up circle with those heavy weights on his bat before he swings. I feel like they've been tested. Like, Miami is going to be a much easier assignment because they've been really inconsistent offensively. Even against the Sixers, like, their role players didn't show up at all. Where you saw Game 7, Celtics-Bucks, all of a sudden, Grant Williams is playing like Steph Curry, and Kevin White is stepping up, and Al Horford somehow lost 12 years off his game. I don't know how that happened. So I feel like we just saw the role players of the Celtics really step up at the end of the Bucks series, where the Heat role players, yes, Strus can be great, Hero can be unbelievable, but I have less faith in them. And I mean, I think the bottom line is too, Maggie, like, Don't we have to trust the Vegas number? I know that number is based on public perception, but yes. I think there's a reason the Celtics are favored. I think that it's not just a random number against them. I think there are like good reasons from what we've seen on the court to really kind of give a slight edge to the Celtics.
Well, I think there's a big part of this, right? Which is the entire world sort of watching this next level ascent of Jason Tatum. He is so likable. He's easy to root for. You can appreciate what he does on the offensive and on the defensive end. He's not just a one-way player, just like Jimmy Butler, but Tatum's obviously, you know, more skilled there on the offensive side. I think we are looking at a player individually in this series, Perloff, where it feels like there is a lot at stake. And it's kind of cool when we get to see this moment, which is, it's, you know, Jason Tatum has played in Eastern Conference Finals before. It's not that. He has this moment where he can take himself and his reputation from really good player to like top five player in the league. And I think that's why a lot of the perception, a lot of the focus has been on Boston, because we're looking to Tatum for this massive jump. And you know what's so crazy about it is it feels so fickle because we're like that in the NBA. Think about it. Devin Booker was on the doorstep of that, like that, you know, moniker being denoted as one of the top five, six players in the game. And then look what happened. The Suns no-showed in a Game 7. Booker out. Luka in.
Yeah.
Now Luka is going to be a top five player in the league. Tatum has so much riding on this series, fair or unfair. I think that's why you're seeing so much of the narratives, the momentum, everything behind Boston.
Here's the difference. The Celtics clearly can win without an A-plus game from Jason Tatum. They did in Game 7. You know, it was the role players. They had a game earlier in the series where Tatum shot 4 for 19, scored 10 points, and they lost at the last second, 103-101. They blew a lead. So I do feel like Tatum's slightly positioned differently. Now, I don't know. Devin Booker, I think, is close. But Ja Morant, Luka Doncic, those guys, like, if they don't play their top game, they're not going to beat really good teams. Tatum, I don't know that he's always a story with the Celtics. Don't you think there's going to be a game where Marcus Smart is going to be the hero, or Jalen Brown is just going to go off? So I totally understand what you're saying. I'm fascinated to see where Jason Tatum goes, but they're not so reliant on them. And I think that's another big factor. Honestly, what are the Heat going to do if Jimmy Butler doesn't score? Where is that scoring going to come from? Is it going to be Tyler Hero or Bam? I don't know.
Well, I know that it was against your 76ers who were very much a shell of themselves at the end of that series. But Jimmy Butler didn't play like amazing in that closeout game, and they were able to close out your 76ers on the road. Again, it wasn't an amazing effort by the 76ers. You lose Danny Green in the game. We all know what happened there. James Harden was a no-show, all that. but you've seen other people be able to take over. And there's sort of this thing about Miami, and, you know, to be fair to Boston, they have this too. This whole is better than the sum of the parts. You know, like, yeah, Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, these guys weren't even drafted. Like, nobody knows who these people are. Oladipo was like a mystery all season long, and now he's back coming off the bench. You mentioned Hero is the sixth man of the year, but his game kind of goes in and out, and defensively he's not, like, unbelievable. You know, it's going to be crazy because it could be one of those series where first 1-95 wins the game.
Yeah.
And when you're playing a game like that, even though the Miami Heat have kind of like offensive zeros in their starting rotation, like PJ Tucker and guys, you're just not asking to score. I think they will, it could end up like just putting such a premium on what one or two of their role players can do. And I have to believe one or two will show up every night.
Yeah, I feel the same exact reason, but I feel the Celtics role players are going to be the ones. I feel like it's just going to be pesky Kevin White. It's going to be Grant Williams. It's going to be somebody who, you know, we can't even tell you where they went to college. It's
Peyton
going to
Pritchard.
End up, well, Peyton Pritchard. Oh, my God. As a Sixers fan, there's nothing more annoying than seeing them get Peyton Pritchard out of Oregon and have him be good. I wanted to scream at my TV. But that has nothing to do with it. I'm going to let my biases. And by the way, I can't stand the Heat either, just so we're clear. Like, I'm rooting against both teams here. I don't know. I mean,
wait, Perloff, while we're on this just for a moment, because you are a notorious bandwagoner.
Oh, yes.
Right. So are you just, like, you have a major futures bet here on the Heat. Is that the only thing is your guiding star here? Is that your North Star at this point?
No, I'm slow playing in my mind that bet. I've given up on that bet. I'm picking the Celtics to win the series because it'll be too frustrating. Now, that was actually, you know, I made that bet in January because I felt just like you did. Oh, my God, everyone's disrespecting these Heat. They're so efficient. They're so good at defense. You know, they have Jimmy Butler. But you know what? I could say all the same things about the Celtics, who I also don't like as a team. I feel like the Celtics are a slightly amped up version of the Heat. This is a little like the Spider-Man meme. Like, are we looking at the same team? Which makes sense because you argue the odds should be close to even. I just feel like the Celtics are just a little longer, a little better. But they are very, very similar teams.
Which is why I think this is going to be a great series. I mean, and also I'm kind of hoping that after the blowouts that we saw in a couple of these game sevens, that the NBA kind of like, you know, let's get it together here.
Wait, the NBA, you know, what do you expect them to get to make a bunch of calls to help make it a close game?
No one would ever accuse them of anything like that. You know, you're going to push everyone over to hockey if you keep having these blowouts.
Oh, it is lottery night. And I know how you love a good conspiracy theory. I'm just going to put it out there. Do you buy the famous Patrick Ewing lottery frozen card conspiracy theory?
Buy it. It's like what my entire persona is based off of. Yes, absolutely. And you know what? You'll never be able to convince me otherwise because it's so brilliant. Frozen envelope. Ugh, like I wish I had thought it up myself. In my Machiavellian brain, I would only hope to come up with something that devious and that sinister than what David Stern and those men came up with way back in 1985.
So, okay, but you don't buy every conspiracy theory. Do you believe Deflategate, that Tom Brady was deflating footballs?
So it took a 200-page report and, you know, physicists from MIT for me finally not to believe that one. I mean, that was just like, what was it, like the gas law? At some point, you can't fight the things that we know about the, like, you know, I'm not there with Kyrie on the flat earth thing, you know.
I've seen
photos of the earth. Yeah, I'm not that crazy.
No. There was a dude named the Deflator because he was losing weight. Get out of here. They totally deflated footballs. They totally went into that bathroom and took air out of that. His nickname was the Deflator, Maggie, and the scandal was called Deflategate. Explain that.
I know. That guy disappeared from the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Like, that's the other thing, too. You have to be careful when you're involved in one of these conspiracy theories. We're lucky that, you know, anyone who was in the room that day with the Patrick Ewing envelope is still alive.
Oh, did you see in the HBO show Winning Time about the Lakers, the 79-80 Lakers, where David Stern just winked at Magic and said, we're going to change the vote of the series MVP to you. And he's like, you can't do that. He's like, we could do whatever we want. You must have eaten that up.
David Stern, you know, I say that Machiavelli and Maggie is based off of Belichick. I'm really disrespecting David Stern by saying that, because he deserves to be at least a split the bill on the motivation there, because I will believe any conspiracy theory with David Stern. But you know what's funny about Stern and also with Belichick? I do believe it comes from a place of, like, they think they're doing the right thing, which makes them such great villains. You know, they think that they're in the right, and they believe that freezing the envelope and giving Patrick Ewing to the Knicks was going to save the NBA. I can't say whether that's real or not. Do you believe the frozen envelope?
No, I don't. You stated it like it's fact, like that we had Chinese food last Thursday. It's like the envelope was frozen. I do not buy that as absolute fact. I mean, I'm 80% of the way there, 85%. Wow. But I don't. The way you talk about it is like, well, what David Stern froze the envelope, of course, and said that you, like, at least I have some questions.
No, I'm leaving no room. And even on top of that, I always wondered, I'm like, man, you know, it never made sense to me that you have billion-dollar companies and you're just going to leave this up to some ping pong balls. Like, that never made sense to me. It still doesn't to this day. And I know you've got people, suits in the room, who are keeping track of what's going on to make sure there's no funny business. They've had journalists sit in to make sure that this thing is above board. But it's almost like doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Well, now it does, though, since every college player in the draft is only 1 year of experience. The NBA has no idea who's going to be good. So now they would never even bother freezing a ping pong ball. Or what, they don't even do it ping pong balls, do they? We'll find out tonight.
I don't think so anymore.
I think it's a computer algorithm. But yeah. thank God no one has any idea if the number one pick is going to be better than the number five pick this year. But yeah, no, I'm not all the way there with you. I do love when you convince me and how certain you are of different conspiracy theories. It's one of my favorite parts about you. You're in. You're all in on those.
Well, I mean, the draft lottery that's one of the easiest ones to believe. I'll have to dig up a couple more. Don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole. But sports conspiracy theories are the best. And you know what? Sometimes, you know, a good story is even a little bit better than the truth. It's going to be a great night tonight. I think game one of this series is going to be very good.
We should have people call in and see. I'm curious if everyone's with you. Does everyone just assume that happened in 1985 or whatever year it was? That the NBA, I mean, I don't know. Like, you're certain. I'm partway there. Do you think, like, the average fan believes it? Because I think they might.
I mean, I don't see, this is the thing too, the statute of limitations on this has run out. I mean, 85, like, you know, Patrick Ewing he's the head coach of Georgetown now. It's even come full circle. Like, we don't have to pretend anymore. You know, this is like not a state secret. And I guess they, you know, they want to keep the integrity of the draft lottery process, but I don't see how they couldn't come clean about 85. Like, let's just do it. It's like releasing the JFK tapes or whatever they did. It's like barely made a blip on the radar. You know, everyone's just like, everyone's kind of in their camp already.
I didn't even know they released the JFK tapes. I'm not sure what that means, but
dude,
I'm sure.
Look it up. They did.
Yeah, no. Does that mean that there was a second shooter?
I don't know. I didn't read them. I didn't listen.
You read the 200-page Deflategate memo, but you didn't have time to read the JFK papers?
No, and I saw the court sketch of Tom Brady and how awful it was, and the legend there only grew. No, but you know what? Brady didn't even leave it to a conspiracy theory. He destroyed his phone and just told everybody. Like, no, I'm not turning my phone over. I destroyed it. That sounds like a conspiracy theory that was real during that case.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I just can't get past the nickname, the Deflator, said with a Boston accent. Hey, go get the Deflator. The balls have too much air in them.
You know what? It's crying out for a Sandler movie, really. Oh, if you can put a funny spin on it, Perloff, maybe not only will you be in Hustle, which hits theaters June 8th, but you will also could be maybe in the next Sandler Deflator movie.
Or we could write a script. The Waterboy, we haven't caught up with the Waterboy in 20 years. What's he do after he retires? He becomes a equipment guy for sure. He definitely could have been involved. I get a little Cajun accent up there in New England. I think we've hit Netflix gold with that, Maggie.
Well, we're going to be millionaires. I can't wait. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. Okay, you can weigh on a couple things there. One, are the Miami Heat being disrespected by being underdogs in this series? Vegas has them right now about +150 money. And then the second part, Do you believe the frozen envelope conspiracy theory story from 1985? I'm a staunch yes on that. It is Maggie and Perloff. We're hanging with you on this Tuesday. So much more to come, including your phone calls and also which team could be making the biggest mistake of their lives. We'll get to that in just a moment. You can find us on Twitter at Maggie and Pearl or Facebook.com/Maggie and Perloff. Ominous, let's go on this fabulous Tuesday. Let us know what you're thinking. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show right here on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 158.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help troubleshoot the likely cause of your pesky check engine light for free and get you back on the road. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. I'm here in the New York studio. Maggie is at home. So Maggie thinks the Heat are not getting enough respect. And shocker here, Maggie, that Mark from Miami, I believe, agrees with you. Mark, come on. Don't be obvious, dude. What do you mean that the Heat don't get respect?
Hey, come on. Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah. Perloff, come on, man. You got to agree that I've never seen a number one seed like the Heat. And I'm not being a homer. This is, like, even objective, like, media who cover this league who've not gotten any love all season. All season, it was about the Nets, the Bucks, the Celtics, and when Philly got Harden, the 76ers. They were the distant 15 when they were the number one seed basically all year. They had that one little urge where Boston overtook them for number one seed, but basically they were wire to wire the number one seed. And it's just hilarious to me, even though they got the best coach in the league, in my mind, is Spo, their elite defensive team. Jimmy Butler, to me, is a superstar, even though you may not put him in an elite superstar to me. I put him in that next tier, not that Giannis, Curry, Durant, but I think he's that second tier where he can be your lead guy and win a championship. And we are loaded, fellas. I mean, look at Bam Adebayo. To me, is an elite player. He may not be flashy, but he's an elite all-star type center. Tyler Hero just won Sixth Man of the Year. They got Oladipo. P.J. Tucker's a dog. So it's just they've been overlooked all season, and that's fine by them. That's what I love about this team. They don't really care about they don't play the annoying we don't get any respect card. They just play, hey, we'll play it out on the court, and that's how I see it. It's just, and in this series, again, they're going to be the underdog. Just like when Embiid came back, they were the underdog to Philly. So I think they're going to win the series. It's going to be a hard-fought battle. I think it's going to go seven, and they're going to get to the finals. But they're in for a battle. I think this is going to be a absolute grinding-out type of series.
Mark,
and,
Thanks,
guys.
Mark, who was the number one seed last year in the East?
Number one seed last year was Bucks, wasn't it?
No, that was 2 years ago. The Philadelphia 76ers were the number one seed last year, and they lost to the Atlanta Hawks in the second round. I don't care who the number one seed is. And by the way, like honestly, if the Heat hadn't been the number one seed, they were 2-3, I wouldn't really view this series differently. You might, Maggie, but I feel like the number one seed, what does it mean to me?
No, the only thing it means to me is the home court. I mean, that's the part of it that I think really could end up making the difference here because, like Mark, I do think the series is going to go seven. And I know that we saw the Celtics win in Milwaukee. We've seen them win some tough games on the road. But, like, I think having that home court for game seven, I know we just saw a couple of blowouts in game sevens that happened. Well, at least one of them happened in Phoenix, and that was pretty ugly, and that was at home. But I think that game seven home court, I love having it in the back pocket there. Now, here's the thing, right? I think that where I feel like I got to – this is tough, right? I felt like the 76ers, like, their will was just kind of broken because Embiid was not healthy. You know, they got a one-game bump from Embiid coming back. And let's be really fair about it. It really was just that Miami missed every shot possible in that game three, right? So they got that, and then James Harden had this incredible game four where, like, did James Harden turn back the clock, you know, forever? Well, no, it turns out he didn't, and he was just, you know, reverted to the James Harden we know now. And I feel like they broke their will and the spirit of the 76ers pretty quickly. The Celtics are going to meet them there in terms of hunger, desire. As we said, Tatum sort of playing for this narrative of being a top five player in the league and morphing into one of the elite of the elite. And also, this is a hungry team because obviously they've been to the Eastern Conference Finals with Tatum, but have never been to the finals.
Yeah, I just sort of think I disagree a little bit on the Sixers. Yes, their will was broken, but they also weren't nearly as good. Like they're getting minutes from guys like Shake Milton and Matisse Thybulle played very poorly, and they don't have a backup center to help Embiid. I feel like the Celtics are a more well-rounded team, so I don't know. Like, I don't know what I read out of that Heat-Sixers series. Like, I have trouble taking a lot of positives away that are going to carry over here, except for rest. I mean, oh, wow, this is so tough. I still like, okay, I know you're saying that you feel they're disrespected. Like, you had to bet right now. You said even last segment. Like, are you leaning Heat because of that home game, home court advantage?
I think I am. Yeah. I mean, if I'm looking for the value, like if you're asking me where I would put my money right now, I would make the Heat bet with the plus money. And yeah, I feel like I kind of have to. I know that it's like I'm going to ride with the underdog here because I do feel like the Heat have gotten a lot of disrespect. Now, one thing that these teams really don't have to worry about, Perloff, they've got to worry about each other, of course. They don't have to really worry about paying a max contract to someone who might not deserve it. Now, there are other teams in the NBA who cannot claim to have that same clear conscience because there are three contract situations right now. Not all of them are necessarily super max, but they all could be very hamstringing for their teams if this person or these players end up not being worth these max contracts. So what Perloff and I are going to do, we have three players who are all in line to get paid right now. No opting out. You have to pick who would you give the max contract to? Would it be A, James Harden, B, Kyrie Irving, C, DeAndre Ayton? Now, we know all of their situations are not exactly apples to apples, so spare us with the mean tweets. We understand it. We understand some are restricted free agents, some can opt in. But each one is at the precipice where their team has a decision to make. And if we're playing GM, Perloff, you have to give a contract to one of these players. Yeah. Who is it?
Well, I'm going to turn to my good friend, LeBron James, who did a Twitter Q&A. And he said that if he could build a team around anyone, it would be Kyrie Irving. I am choosing Kyrie Irving. And it's not exactly for the reasons you might think. The downside of Kyrie Irving is that he does not show up, that he's just not there. Okay, that's bad. But the downside of James Harden is that he does show up and does not put any effort out. And that lack of effort seems to affect the whole team. I honestly, Harden, I feel like, is a little bit of a more of a worse influence. Also, Kyrie's younger. Then, of course, you could say DeAndre Ayton's much younger. Just style play. I just do not want a stiff setter. And I really, I was never a big DeAndre Ayton guy after the last series against the Mavs. Forget about it. I am definitely going Kyrie. I'm not thrilled about it, but you made me choose one, so that's an easy choice. Who do you got?
Man, I hate to do this, but I was also going to pick Kyrie. We didn't want to tell each other what our answers were going to be, but I was also going to pick Kyrie Irving because you're right. The respect he gets from the peers is one thing. The other part, too, is like what J.J. Redick had to say about DeAndre Ayton. Now, I know Kyrie Irving has no showed at times, like physically not in the building, whether it was vaccine, other things, right? But J.J. Redick was on ESPN the other day and was asked about this contract situation for DeAndre Ayton. It had a very interesting response. Let's play it.
Let's go down the line on the Phoenix Suns roster. They all sucked last night. Should none of them get paid in the future? Are all of them horrible players?
Are you going to answer? You're going to answer your own question. I'll let you.
No. There's a reason they didn't max him, Stephen A. There's a reason they didn't max him. Right. It has nothing to do with playoff performance. He was good in the playoffs last year. The reason they didn't max him is because there's questions about his attitude and character.
JJ.
Boom. There you go.
Okay, so over some of that talking, J.J. Redick revealing that there's some questions about his attitude and character. That's not something that I would ever know on the outside, Perloff, but you're talking about the positional value and you're talking about potential concerns there. Money only makes you more of what you are. I'd be a little worried about that. Kyrie Irving, Harden, I mean, they've already gotten paid.
Yeah.
You know,
we know that they don't have character, so like we don't have any question mark hanging about that.
It's amazing. Great point. I think that the one thing I would say for Harden, I just don't know if this matters, is that he hasn't won a title yet. And he's got these other accolades.
That's one thing about Harden.
No, one thing in his favor, sorry, is he's still hungry to win a title.
He's hungry, all right. I don't know about winning a title.
Between him and Kyrie. So Kyrie has already won a title. Obviously, Ayton has not either. He played in the finals last year. They lost. But, like, do you think that Harden and his pursuit for a title could have an impact on his career the rest of the way?
No, not at all. He's never played the kind of basketball where it seemed like all he was focused on was winning a title. His style of play is just he has to have the ball in his hand to be effective. And if he has the ball in his hand all the time, that team's not going to win. So just the formula of James Harden has never worked. And you know, not just James Harden, other players who play a similar style, like these really, really high usage, meaning they have the ball, they're dribbling all the time. It's just not a way to win an NBA title. Luka might be an exception this year, but I'd be even surprised by that. Harden is I'd be shocked if he won a title. I would have been shocked even before he got to Philadelphia. But so, no, I don't see the hunger there. Are you factoring that in?
It would be the one thing as I was trying to talk myself into how you would give Harden a max contract. I'm like, well, maybe he still wants a ring. He has gold medals, obviously, and he's got the MVP. He's got all the money in the world. Yeah. Did you just notice something a little bit there with J.J. Redick in that cut, which is like, is there anybody who seems like they're having a worse time on TV than J.J. Redick? They keep throwing him in there with Stephen A. Now Pat Beverly is like all over these debate shows just throwing shade at Chris Paul left and right. But J.J. Redick seems so exasperated by all this. It's like, it's TV. It's supposed to be fun. It does not seem like he's having a good time.
Not at all. He's always in a defensive posture, which is funny because on his podcast, he's not like that at all. Because he has fellow players on, and he kind of kisses their butt. You know, he's like, I listened to one.
Safe space.
Yeah, he has safe space, and he has the players on, and he treats them differently. But then he asks, you know, when a retired player goes on TV, they have to say something. And oftentimes has to be critical of players, and it's not fun. I do not think he's having fun.
It's like, you don't have to do this. Nobody's forcing you to do it. just seems like he is not having a good time. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. It is Maggie and Perloff. Coming up, one quarterback reportedly has all the confidence in the world, but is it completely irrational? We'll get to that in just a moment.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serve the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Maggie, if you could guess who our producer Stu Kovacs picked for this week's Defensive Player of the Week, I'm buying you a steak dinner. If you just say it off the top of your head, there's no way. There's no way.
Like Chris Paul?
How about in Sunday's Game 7 win over the Suns, Mavs forward Maxi Kleber had three block shots. As a team, Dallas had held Phoenix to just 27 first half points. That's a good point. But Maxi Kleber, I didn't know he had three block shots his entire career. That's a good one, Sue.
Not someone I think of when I think of lockdown defenders, but that's what Stu's all about, you know, finding that little diamond in the rough, making you think a little bit.
I mean, I know Marcus Smart won Defensive Player of the Year. Maybe they had it wrong. Maybe it was the Maxi Kleber on Dallas.
He got hosed.
There was a video after the game where Jason Kidd was celebrating the Dallas win with his teammates, and Maxi Kleber was standing right behind Jason Kidd, just making the entire experience uncool as a viewer, just because he is the dorkiest NBA player. I'm just going to put it out there. He's just got,
there's so much
swag on that Mavericks team. Like, Luka is cocky, Jalen Brunson's so cool, but Maxi Kleber is just, he's a nerd, but he is the Navy Federal Credit Union Defensive Player of the Week. So that's cool. That's something.
He's got that going for him. And they're going to the Western Conference Finals. Wait, how do you know that he's the dorkiest person in the NBA? You're just going to annoy somebody?
I saw this video and you can tell everyone's sort of kicking it post game and Jason Kidd's giving a little speech. And right behind, Maxi Kleber is uncooling the whole thing. You'll see exactly what I mean. I'll send out a picture at Maggie and Pearl and I will explain what I mean. Like, and honestly, like, when Luka doesn't shoot for the Mavs, there's always a little bit of a letdown, but you kind of want to see, what's the point? You know, Luka gets double teamed and kicks it to Kleber. It's like, oh, okay, whatever. Anyway.
Yeah, come on, Jalen Brunson, pass it back.
Yeah, Brunson's a little better. And then maybe Spencer Dinwiddie could be exciting, but that is, it's funny. You're talking about how Jason Tatum could be one of those elite players. Like, if Luka is not elite, like, should we even watch the Western Conference Finals? Have you seen a series like that where you needed one player to be as good as the Mavs do with Luka Doncic?
I was, like, the one thing that comes to mind is always LeBron in the first finals he went to, you know, against the Spurs where they got swept. And it's like, LeBron had to do everything. I would say another LeBron finals when he was back with Cleveland and Kyrie broke his kneecap. And, like, I know they lost the Warriors, but LeBron should have definitely won finals MVP. They gave it to Andre Iguodala. Like, it's still controversial to this day. I know they usually don't give it to the person on the losing side, except for like Jerry West, but they should have given it to LeBron. I'm trying to think of others.
How about Allen Iverson with the Sixers?
Allen Iverson.
As a finals team. I mean, I know Dikembe Mutombo was playing some great defense that year, but that was a one-man show.
What about Dirk's first finals? The first finals against Miami, the Dwayne Wade Shaq Miami.
I mean, I have trouble in my head distinguishing between that team and the team that won the finals. Like, who was there anything different? Was it the same cast and crew?
No, I think Michael Finley was not on the second one.
Okay, Jason Terry went off in the second one. You're right, though. I mean, also, they basically one-man teams.
They had a different coach, too. Avery Johnson was the coach in the first one. Rick Carlisle was the coach in the second one.
Oh, small detail. So talking about that mid-2010s Cavs team, you wanted to get into this Kyrie Irving quote about how they would have won more championships. Now, what exactly did he say?
Oh, so he was on the I Am Athlete podcast, and I just saw this fleetingly, so forgive me because I have not gotten a chance to listen to the whole podcast, so I'm not sure if he was taking out of context, but he said, you know, if he had been more mature at that moment of his life, he thinks they would have won more titles in Cleveland. And I said to Perloff, somewhere LeBron weeps, you know, because LeBron was the one who's obviously chasing Michael Jordan and trying to, you know, get as many rings. You know, it's about total rings for LeBron, you know. And meanwhile, here's Kyrie forcing his way out of Cleveland to go to Boston of all places. And then we all know what happened after that. But I do think he's right. I think that if Kyrie had been committed, if he had wanted to be a Cav and wanted to be a sidekick alongside LeBron, I think they would have won more titles. Yeah, I do.
Well, I think logistically, though, they ran up against that KD Warriors team. I just don't see how that the Cavs were not a great team from top to bottom. I just don't see that they were going to beat them either of those years with Kevin Durant playing that well and the basis of the Golden State dynasty. You think that Kyrie could have won that one of those at least?
I don't know. Maybe one of them. I mean, how many times they met what, four straight times? LeBron met the Warriors, what, four straight times in the finals, right?
Yeah.
And the thing is I think that they would have had to change the cast of characters, obviously, around Cleveland. You know, like, you ultimately, though, building around LeBron and a Kyrie and engaged, like, at his peak powers, Kyrie Irving. You mentioned it last night. LeBron's doing the Q&A over on Twitter, and he was asked, like, who would he want to be a two-on-two, you know, like, pickup guy, like, pickup basketball game, who would you want? And he said Kyrie, KD, and Kobe, obviously, you know, the late Kobe Bryant. But Kyrie, KD, like, he still believes Kyrie's one of the best players in the league.
Well, okay, or he was just hooking up a friend. But what you're talking about is, like, this idea that Kyrie and LeBron could have stayed in Cleveland. See, to me, that doesn't even compute because we all know the deal with LeBron. 4 years usually at a place, and then he moves on. And then Kyrie seems to have some of the same stuff going on. Like, it just doesn't... I mean, we'd have to hear everything he said, but it doesn't compute with me that they would have kept together and maybe not knocked off that Kawhi Toronto Raptors team or one of these Giannis teams. Like, I can't see them having stayed in Cleveland. And not just to mention, like, I don't feel like LeBron wanted to live in Cleveland anymore. I felt like he was ready for a move by the time he got out there. I didn't see, like, a dynasty being split up.
Okay, so, I mean, you don't... I don't know. Like, we have to go revisionist history through the entire thing. You know, does having a healthy, engaged Kyrie Irving keep LeBron also wanting to stay in Cleveland and not wanting to move to LA? Like, you know, I think there was a time when, you know, going from having Kyrie being your running mate to, you know, whoever was left, Kevin Love, J.R. Smith, you know, it's a little bit different. Kyrie was obviously the second best player on the team, no doubt.
Yeah, I just think, like, it's style-wise, LeBron and Kyrie, and ego-wise, maybe Kyrie was right. If he was more mature, ego-wise, it wasn't going to work. I don't know. You're right. You'd have to go back and rip it apart. But, yeah, I never saw that Cavs team as a, like, budding dynasty. Even the year they won was a complicated year because Curry, you remember, he missed an entire series at playoffs with knee. He slipped on wet court. His knee was banged up. Then Draymond was not completely stable that offseason. So that was I think that team won 73 regular season games at Warriors. That was no slouch. So, yeah, I don't know. I love Kyrie's game, just like we all do. But I don't know if I can agree with that statement.
Well, I mean, Kyrie kind of lives in his own world a lot of times. But this one, I actually agreed with him on. You know, this one, I actually thought that he may have had something there. I mean, imagine if, you know, all of a sudden J.R. Smith knows what the score is at the end of game one of that 18 finals, you know, and LeBron doesn't get mad at him, or, you know, that they somehow win that game. Anything could have been different there. Anything could have been different. But it's a little funny about the self-awareness from Kyrie Irving, because, like, what do you do with it? You know, it's like, it's great that he sort of learned from that, I guess, and like, you know, has apologized to LeBron, I guess, you know, about, you know, not understanding how to be a leader. Yet at the same time, what does it get you? You know, it doesn't feel like he's really applying this to his current situation in Brooklyn right now.
Oh, no. I feel bad for the Nets. They have to deal with this guy. I know in the last segment I took him over James Harden and DeAndre Ayton, but, you know, like we've always said with him, he has incredible talent, but you have to take in the whole package, which is complicated. The Sixers right now are a mess with James Harden. One thing that gives me solace is that at least they're not dealing with Kyrie Irving.
Man, I'd rather be dealing with Kyrie. I'd rather be dealing with Kyrie and all of his quirks and all the things that come along with it than be dealing with James Harden staring down the barrel of $223 million. Well, I could not do it.
I mean, the Nets had both those guys on their roster as of not that many months ago. So, like, it could be worse. You really could have both those guys on your roster. But the funny thing is we didn't view that as, like, just the worst situation. And now I think looking back on it, we do.
So, Perloff, if you are listening to us on radio, but if you're watching TV, you can see he's wearing a Justin Fields hat.
Yeah, baby.
All right. We're going to get into the future of the Chicago quarterback with our good friend Mike Tenier from Football Outsiders next. You won't want to miss it. Maggie and Perloff.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!